Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
We're going to do a song you are all very familiar with, the first Noel, but maybe you're not as familiar with what the meaning of Noel. The classical translation of it is birth. And so when we sing Noel, Noel, we're truly proclaiming the birth of our Savior, which is really neat when you think about it, and proclaiming to the shepherds who've been told their whole lives for hundreds of years, the Savior is coming. So if you can imagine the angels singing to the shepherds in the field, Noel, Noel, the birth has come, your Savior has come.
Darkness. Not a glimpse of light could be found. Sure, there was the occasional spark lit by noble men who screamed for change into the night sky, but like a candle lit in the December wind, the glimmer of hope that it provided was soon snuffed out. Vanished. Gone. Never to return. Just a memory orally communicated to the masses. Passed down from grandfather to father to son to child. Patiently, our ancestors waited for something more than the small flame that had been fanned by the great men of old as they tried to sustain it, but couldn't. For years, time was their greatest adversary. Eternity stood still, but time kept moving. Darkness kept living, breathing, preying on the weak as the weak prayed for change. Some incapable of rendering unto Caesar that which he said was owed. Hopeless, their wounds painful, the roots deep, but in her womb, life. He who stripes would eradicate the scars that have been painted on human flesh by the artists of destruction. The living, breathing image of God was here, here to trade joy for pain, confidence for shame, to formally serve death with death. Caesar, your taxes aren't taxing for the king who designed and outlined the earth's axis. There isn't a chamber in this natural world we know as the universe that can conceal this light. No man can stop the power of God. Now imagine that same beautiful power sent to this obscure, grotesque world to save you, to save me from the caligamous ways that we adopted at birth. Birth. His magnificent entrance came through birth. Born in a manger, born of a virgin, our bright morning star has arrived. The beginning and the ending woven together seamlessly in a newborn baby. The people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. Dwellers in a land of death shade, light has shone upon them. The light of the world, and his name is Jesus.
Amen. His name is Jesus. Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas to everyone here. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for joining us online. Merry Christmas to our worship team. Didn't they do a great job? Come on. Give it up for those guys. Good job. Out on a Christmas Eve morning. Merry Christmas to all of our elders and our guests and to all of our staff and pastors. Kathy and I love each and every one of you. And to all of our new friends here this morning, we're glad you're with us on a beautiful Christmas Eve. I love the fact that we could be together. Last year, Christmas actually fell on a Sunday, which it does every 7 years. But I had forgotten how cool it is to have Christmas with your church family. And then today, it's kind of like that because Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday. And I know that's a little bit different maybe than your normal traditions, but every 7 years or so, we get to be together on Christmas Eve. And after all, we are family, amen? So we're glad we're together, right? Let's get into the Word of God. There's a teaching outline right next to you. Let's come to the Scripture because the Scripture gives us light. We've been talking in December about this word celebrate, and we have so much to be thankful for. So many things that we could just say, God, you have been good to us. You can focus on the problems in life. When you focus on the problem, the celebrate angle kind of goes away. But when you focus on the blessings, well, there's a lot to celebrate. So today we celebrate the light of Jesus Christ, the light of Christ coming into the earth. And I want to talk to you before we go into our candlelight Christmas experience that we're going to have at the very end of this service in a few moments, I want to talk to you from my heart about Jesus, the light, Jesus, the light of the world, and why we celebrate him. 2,000 years ago, just as the infant Jesus was about to be born, in that amazing birth that would forever change history, a kind of unknown prophetic person, a humble man named Zacharias, he was a servant of God, felt something stirring in his heart. God was stirring him prophetically, and he ended up speaking a prophecy that I'd like to share with you today. How many of you believe God does still speak? He does speak, yeah. This one, this prophetic word was recorded before the birth of Jesus, pointing to the birth of Jesus, and this is what it says, Luke chapter 1. Because of God's tender mercy. Everyone say tender mercies. Aren't you glad God is a tender God? And a lot of people feel that God is far away, he's harsh, he's angry. I'm so glad that God has shown himself tender in my life. He's a merciful, tender God. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. I'm so grateful for the path of peace. I'm so grateful that God is tender toward us, and that in Christ his light has entered into the darkness of the world, so that we who sit in darkness no longer have to wonder, how are we going to get where we're going? What's our next move? We don't know where to go. No, we have light, and it is growing and it's rising in our lives. Oh, I know the world is dark, plenty dark. You can just turn on the evening news and see that 24/7, you can understand the darkness that's in the world. But the world is not entirely dark, because Christ, our light, has come. And on this Christmas Eve morning, we are celebrating the light. We're not talking about the darkness, because the darkness doesn't have a chance now that the light has come into the world. We who sat in darkness, we who sat in darkness have seen a light. Do you remember what it's like to sit in darkness? How many remember what it was like before Christ came into your life? The sadness, the loneliness, the profound confusion, the hopelessness, the guilt, the darkness that is inky and thick and unbearable, that surrounds us, that chokes us, that suffocates us, and then light comes. Shining light. We sat in darkness where the shadow of death was. We are beginning to experience the morning light of heaven breaking upon us. I tell you, I'm glad for the light of Christ. Morning light has filled our hearts forever. And this we celebrate. So today we celebrate. We celebrate the light in that it drives the darkness out of our lives. Light is so great, especially when you need it. I'm kind of a gadget guy. I like gadgets, not everything. I like smartphones. I like some of the apps. I like some of those cool things that can happen. I have a few gadgets in my house. I have this one through my smartphone and through my alarm system. I have cameras in my house, and I can see even when I'm gone. I can look at the porch, and I like gadgets like that. I like things that, like, I can turn lights off and on through my telephone. I don't know. That just feels powerful to me. Sometimes I just sit in my chair at home and I turn lights off and on, off and on. I like gadgets. Installed a couple of gadgets this year. My favorite one was, it's just a very simple, it's a light that comes out of the bottom of a plug cover. You know your plug covers? They have them now that shoot light down. So I took off the old, in about four or five places in our house, dark places. And you put these things in, and at night when the house is dark, little lights come down out of the bottom of that plate cover. And I like that because, you know, in the middle of the night, if you're up for a glass of water or whatever you're doing, if the house is dark and no one's turned the lights on, there's never a place in my house where it's completely black and I can't see anything. So I'm not liable to stub my toe or, you know, just at the places. Have you ever climbed a staircase or gone down a staircase in the dark and you do that thing at the very bottom where you don't know if there's one more step or not? You know, you do that whole, or you're coming up to the top and you think there's one more step, but there isn't, and you do that whole funny walk thing. Now I have just the right amount of light anywhere in my house, so no more stub toes, no more wandering. Light is wonderful when it's on your path. And actually, those little things, I think they're called guide lights. They're very nice. And I don't sell them, but I do recommend them. They're cool. They're gadgets, you know. The pathway lighting into the dark areas. Well, the birth of Jesus Christ was like a little light that shone. Actually, it all started with a star in the middle of a dark night. A reflecting star. A light that was shining, guiding people to the location of the Savior. One of my favorite Christmas hymns is "O Holy Night." And that one line is so sweet. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Don't you love that? Till he shone, until he shined. And with Jesus, the chosen one of God, the anointed one, light came into a very dark world. God demonstrated his love for the world by lighting it up, by providing just the right amount of light for people to have hope. Does our world need light? Does our world need light? Oh my gosh. You read the news, it's unbelievable. You look back at this year and the headlines and the stories, the hatred, the racism, and the fights, and then all this stuff that's happening about dishonoring women, all the people that are being removed one by one from the media and from sports and from politics and people that have said nasty things about women. And yesterday, Kathy and I were watching, and one more, I forget who the latest one is, but one more, you know, had to resign because they did. And the announcer said, you know, we're going to have to figure out in this culture how to treat women. And I thought, well, that's true, except that for 3,000, 4,000 years, the light of God's word has been shining on exactly that topic. Hello, did you miss the part? Did you miss that book called the Bible that says exactly how we're supposed to treat women? We treat women like they're our sisters. We honor them. The world was totally destroying women before Christ and before the gospel. Do you know what Jesus did and what he taught us about how to treat other people? The Bible is very clear about how we should treat strangers and how we should treat people that are different from us and how we should honor all people. That light has been shining. The world didn't generate that light. That light came from God. And we try to think, what are we going to do? We better figure this out. We better figure the race thing out. We better figure. Listen, that light has been shining for a long, long time. We need to come back to the light. We need to come back to what God has already said about how we should treat each other. How we should treat the poor. It's very clear what we should do with orphans and widows and the strangers. It's very clear. That light has been shining, and yet the world stays in darkness. The Bible explains it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand that this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God, for God who said, let there be, say it with me, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. The world might be dark, but if there's light in our hearts, you understand we're never going to be in the darkness because we have a light that's on the inside of us. That is such a miracle. So you say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to treat my neighbor. I don't know what to do in this circumstance. You have a light. And that light is Jesus Christ. And he tells us how we should live. Our world was not originally created to be a dark place. Adam was a son of light, born in light, clothed in light, walking in light, until that tearing, wrenching moment when he turned from light and received sin and received darkness. He and all of us have lived in darkness ever since. The darkness of sin that took the light out of this child of God. The shadow on that saddest of days when Adam lost his light and became lost in the darkness. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared. Until one day, or should I say one night, one silent night, oh holy night, when Christ was born and the light of a Savior came, born into a manger, into a world where death had cast its shadow. And this same child grew. He didn't stay a beautiful little baby Jesus. He grew, he became a young adult. And as a 33-year-old man, he died on a cross intentionally, purposefully, out of love for us. Greater love is no man than this, but that he should lay down his life for his friends. He died as a sacrificial lamb, absorbing the poisonous sin of the earth into his sacrificial death, and he rose from the dead. And he did it because he was light, and he did it because he is love. And now, everyone who has Christ has light. Everybody say, I have light. You're not lost today if you have Christ. You're not alone today if you have Christ. As Jesus said in John 8, I am the light. I am the light that shines through the cosmos. Watch this promise. I'm not sure where you're at today, what you might be feeling, or how you're experiencing life, but I want you to hear this verse. He said, I am the light that shines through the cosmos. If you walk with me, then you will thrive. If you walk with me, you will thrive in the nourishing light that gives life, and you will not know darkness. I wish I had confidence that every person listening to my voice this morning is thriving. But what I know from experience is that some of us are just existing. Some of us in this room are wondering, how am I even going to make, I don't know how my marriage is going to make it. I have no idea how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to make it financially. I don't know what to do with my family member that is so broken and so lost. I don't know what to do. If that's where you are, you're not thriving. Jesus came that you could have an abundant life. Jesus came to answer the question, to heal the hurt, to wash away the sin, to provide peace. He came to lay his hand of blessing on you and hold you steady and give you just enough light. Maybe not all the light, but just the right amount of life so that you could say, from here I know what to do. I have enough light. I do know how to walk with God. I do know how to live inside a marriage that's uncomfortable. I do know I'm not lost. I have light because Christ is with me. And though I'm facing some difficulties at work and difficulties at school and family problems, I'm not lost anymore because I have light. Everybody say, I have light. See, because if you have Christ, you're not lost. It's not hopeless. And you do have light. Have you ever been so lost? The scripture we read at the beginning says, the people that sat in darkness. Have you ever just sat in darkness, so lost? You don't know how to help yourself. You don't have the answer. You're not even sure what the question is. You can't articulate how lost you are. You can't explain it to anybody. You're so lost, you don't even know how to help yourself. That light is what you need. In February of 1954, true story, a Navy pilot set out on a night mission from a carrier off the coast of Japan. While he was taking off in stormy weather, his directional finder malfunctioned. So now he's mistakenly headed in the wrong direction. And to make matters worse, he just gets up to altitude and his instrument panel goes out, all the lights. He's lost and he has no guidance. Short-circuited, burnt out in the cockpit. The pilot says, I could see absolutely nothing. And he says, now the blackness on the outside of my plane suddenly had come inside to my plane. Nearing despair, he said, I looked down and I saw a faint blue-green glow trailing along the ocean's dark surface. His training came back to him. I remember hearing about this, how in the wake of a ship, millions and millions of tiny phosphorescent algae will glow in the ocean. And suddenly, he was able to get his bearings. He could see just that faint little trace of light in the ocean's surface coming from that phosphorescent algae and future Apollo 13 astronaut Jim Lovell knew precisely what he needed to do. He had his bearings. He had been saved because of the faintest light. And to me, it doesn't matter today if a huge light isn't hitting you. To me, it doesn't matter today if you don't have all the answers. If you can just say, I've got enough light to know where I'm at and how to get where I need to be. And if you'll trust that light, it'll guide you. I've seen that light. I've seen that faint light in my own life. When I was 14, desperate, broken, lonely, empty, lost in drugs, lost in alcohol, didn't know who I was, had no concept of where I was going, and I wish I could say I saw a beam of light come down from heaven, but it was just like a glow when I heard that God loved me, when I heard that Christ died for me and I could be saved. That was just enough for me to catch my bearings, and I've seen that light thousands and thousands of times over and over in my own life, where I felt lost in the inky darkness and suddenly I knew what to do. How many times I've opened my Bible and a verse just pops out at me like, and suddenly I know what to do. Suddenly I've got direction. How many have had that experience? And I've seen that light in hospital rooms as people are gathered around their loved one, ready to die. Family members so lost and suddenly they understand. I've seen it in funeral homes. I've seen it in marriage counseling situations where people are so totally, totally at an impasse, and then suddenly the light comes on and we're not lost anymore and we know what to do. How many are grateful for that light? God will give you that light. Christ is that light. And today we're celebrating that light has come into the world. I want to just encourage you that the light is going to shine right where you are. I love the light because it shines right where I am when I am most helpless. Here's a prophetic word. I mentioned earlier that God speaks prophetically. How many believe he does speak, right? So maybe you came today and you need this verse. Let me give you Micah chapter 7, verse 8. My enemies, don't be glad because of my troubles. I may have fallen, but I will get up. Come on. I might be sitting in the dark, and some of you are, but the Lord is going to be my light. And if that's all you have because you're broke or you're sick or you're lonely or you don't know what to do about a family crisis, if that's all you have, you're sitting in the dark. At least you know the Lord will be your light. And if God Almighty is your light, you're going to be just fine. Hallelujah. In your worst moment. So prophesy to the devil. Don't rejoice over me, devil. I'm not done yet. Hallelujah. I still got a light, and my light is shining just fine. Thank you. I'm going to be all right. This Christmas, I want you, if you're discouraged, if you're sad, I want you to say to yourself, and I want you to mean it, I'm going to be just fine. Not because of how creative and brilliant you or I are, but because the light is still with me. How many are grateful for the light? So we're grateful for the light because it comes to us right where we are. But number two, we're grateful that the light frees those who embrace us, or frees those who embrace it. You embrace this light. When the light comes to you, it frees you. One day, Jesus was having a conversation, quite a famous conversation, with a Jewish teacher of the law. He was well versed in scripture, but he was totally lost. You know, just because you're strong in religion doesn't mean you have the light. Light is not religion. Light is Jesus Christ. It's a difference. And so his name was Nicodemus, and Jesus had this famous conversation with him in John chapter 3, where he ended up saying to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you can't experience the kingdom of God. Well, that just threw it to another level of confusion. Born again, what does that mean? This was not registering on Nicodemus's chart at all. Jesus was way off the map with him. And so Jesus tries to explain it to him, and he says this to him in verses 19 through 21. God's light came into the world. He says, what about the Jewish people? Don't we have the truth? Don't we have the law? We have the light. What else do we need? And Jesus said, God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be what? Exposed. I wish I could say all light is comforting, but it's not. Those who do what is right come to the light so that others can see that they are doing what God wants. I doubt if anyone here has set their heart to hate the light. I think we all want the light, but there's a piece of us that really doesn't totally want to embrace the light. We struggle to admit our sins. We struggle to say sorry. Does that just roll off your tongue so easily? When you know you've bungled something up, you've really hurt a lot, and it's just so easy for you to say, I'm sorry? Or do you just gag on those words? Do you just struggle? That's human nature. And there are things in us that we really would rather not look at. I told you I like gadgets. Kathy's favorite gadget install at our house this year is one that horrifies me. It's a mirror that I installed on the wall in our bathroom that flips, and it also has a circle of light around it. It's built in. It's very nice. It has a switch. You turn the light on. You look. You see yourself. But when you flip that thing over, it's a 10 times mirror. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I got my face into that. It's a horror show. My God, are you kidding? What is going on inside my nose? That is... You see every vein, you see every... I don't want to describe what I saw in the light of that 10 times mirror. It's like a Quentin Tarantino movie right there, and you're... It's unbelievable. Nobody should look at that, right? And yet, if you really want to fix it, you got to get the light on it. And we want to recoil in horror. And we have this experience. This is why some people don't come to church. It's why some people don't read their Bible. I can tell you the Bible is so comforting. And so this is where you're going to learn about the tender mercies of God, his love and his compassion. Don't be afraid of the Bible because you're going to see something that you don't want to see. Because you will. You'll see the unfaithfulness. You'll see the pride. You'll see the hate. You'll see the prejudice. You'll see the bitterness, the anger. And you just want to say, but you keep looking because you learn to love the light, because you can't really fix it if you don't shine the light on it. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and what? Truth will make you free. So welcome light into your life. And don't run from God because he's the light. The light didn't come into the world to bust you. The light didn't come into the world to humiliate you, to upset you, to cause you to recoil. Jesus came to save you. But you gotta love the light. He said in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world in order to neglect, in order to judge, reject, or to condemn, or to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. God's light came into the world, not to judge. Let me just encourage you. You got to make a decision. You have to make a decision to embrace the light, because the light will come to you right where you are. But let me tell you, friends, we have to make a decision to come to the light that God provides. So let me move to the third point and then encourage us. And we're going to have a beautiful candlelight ceremony. I'm going to pray a blessing over us. We're going to have a beautiful time of music, Holy Spirit's power, and a beautiful candlelight ceremony. Let me just make one last comment. We celebrate the light not only because it shines to where we are, and not only because it frees us if we embrace it, but we celebrate the light because it shines through us to others. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, I'm calling you to be light. I want you to be light. How do I become a light? I'm the lost one. I'm the confused one. But see, when Jesus takes up residence on the inside of your life, you actually light up like a light bulb. You might be the closest thing to light anywhere in your neighborhood, anywhere in your family. You might, as confused and as broken as you may feel about yourself today, you might be the brightest light in your circle of friends, at your campus. And so God wants to light you up with his power, and he wants to shine through you. You say, well, I'm broken, I'm imperfect, I'm full of cracks. Well, that's great, because the more cracks you have, the more light can get out to other people. People can actually see through your brokenness, because it's not about being perfect. It's just about shining. I'm just saying, you know, I'm a broken person, but I've got light on the inside of me. God is calling us to be light. And brothers and sisters, we're saying, we're just a few days away from 2018, and I'm saying in 2018, we as a church, we as a community, let's light it up. Let's light it up in cities we haven't even thought about. Let's preach. Let's do it on the internet. Let's do it anywhere we can, everywhere that will hear us. Let's keep doing what we're doing. Every single person is needed. Every one of you is a light. Let's keep sharing the light. Let's keep sharing our story with people. Don't let the world shut you up. Don't let the world shut your light down. They want you to be quiet. You're not supposed to talk. But I'm telling you, keep shining. Keep shining that same light of God's tender mercy. I'm not talking about a harsh light, an angry light. I'm talking about a God of tender mercy that just lights up. Our mission as a church is to inspire, transform lives. And we read that scripture about how lost people are blinded until the light of Jesus comes. And God has anointed us as a church to shine in our city. We can shine. We can shine, and we will shine. How many want to light it up in 2018? We're just gonna keep going like we're going for broke, because the world's getting darker and darker. Which makes us look better and better all the time without even trying. Keep loving Jesus. Keep worshiping him. Stay strong in prayer. Keep loving each other. Don't be a part of the darkness. Christ has come to shine light on your life, and he's showing you the way. His law is love. His gospel is peace. Thank God for the light. Would you just bow your heads? Lord, we thank you. Long lay the world in sin and darkness, pining until he appeared. Lord, we thank you for the appearing light of Jesus Christ. Thank you for shining through our cracks and through our imperfections. Thank you for showing us things we don't really want to look at, but oh, we need to. Thank you for that holy night when Christ was born. Thank you that in the darkest night, light still shines. Thank you, Lord, that in we who sit in darkness, discouraged, broken, you've never forsaken us. We still have a light. Help us, Lord, as the church, as your people, together and individually, to be a light into the darkness of this world, Lord. Baptize us with fresh love for each other, Lord. Baptize us, Lord, with compassion, your tender mercies for the broken, for the hurting. Help us to be the light that heals and helps. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In this moment, would you open your heart to Christ? You have to make a decision. You have to say, Jesus, come into my life. I'm lost. I'm sitting in darkness. I want your light. If you're here and you need the light of Christ, please, don't sit alone. Let Jesus reach you right where you are. Lord, I pray for every person that needs light. Could we all just say this? Just say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. I receive your light, your love, your forgiveness. Thank you that in 2018, come on everybody, thank you that in 2018, I'm going to thrive on the light that you give. In Jesus' name, amen. Kathy, come join me. We're going to conclude the service. Kathy and I really, we really thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for the children of this church. We thank God for the young people. So proud of our young people. I'm so proud of our men. We have some awesome, awesome men in this church. And ladies, we love you so much. All you gray hairs, we love you. All you no hairs, we love you too. We're wishing you an exceptionally joyful Christmas and an amazing new year. You can't wait to see what God is going to do in your life in the new year. We're going to be there for you. We're one family. We're one church. We love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Now we're going to begin our candlelight service. And I'd like to invite our staff pastors to come up. Here's a group of men and women. Those of you that are part of our ministry team, you've been cued in for this. Here's a group of men and women that I love very much. And they make the over 1,500 of us in four cities safe and healthy and whole. They work so hard. I love these men and women with all my heart. And I hope you do too. I signed Christmas checks. There were 45 of them. I said, Lord, how did I get 45 employees in four cities? What happened? We used to be just a little small church. But what these men and women do, and what you, the volunteers and staff members that are a part of this inspiring organization, it's amazing the difference that you're making. And I want to dedicate today's message to all of you who help us make the light shine. Amen. So we're going to light their candles, then they're going to light your candles. Let's enjoy this beautiful moment in the Lord. Thank you. Now may the tender mercies of God and the morning light shine upon you, cause you to flourish, body, soul, and spirit, to stand up from the place where you sit in darkness and know that God is guiding you. Walk forward in faith, full of love, and hopeful for tomorrow through Christ. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. We love each and every one of you. Merry, merry, merry Christmas. God bless you.